The young man knelt between two candles on the cold stone floor. Beyond the thick walls of the chapel, he heard the rising wind and the first drops of rain. Thunder boomed in the unseen sky, and rain poured down, taking all comfort from the world. The candles flickered in a draught under the door, and his prayer lost words and faded into silence. His mind was full of questions, and he felt deeply alone on this, his night of vigil. Tomorrow he would become a knight. That much he knew, and it filled his heart with joy and amazement. Himself a knight. For this he had worked hard and waited long, almost his whole life. But what, in these days, would be the duty of a knight? In his training he had learned much of the ancient lore of knighthood, but of the present his tutors had said little. They had left him to reach his own understanding of it. Only recently had he awakened to the dire foreboding that lay across the land. He had seen it in the faces of farmers met upon the road, of merchants at their work, and even of children who played in the autumn leaves beside the roads. He knew a cause for anxiety. The king was old and had no son. But the king was still strong and could appoint a successor. There had to be something else that made people afraid, something he did not know, something he had never been taught. What was it? The question arose, unbidden in his mind, again and again considered and left unanswered, a riddle in the lonely night. He turned his thoughts again to the morning, when he, Ailohan, an orphan without known lineage, who might have lived and died as a beggar child in some small village, would become a knight. All this he owed to the mercy of Queen Sarah. When a child who could not yet speak, he had been found the only survivor of a band of knights and ladies that had been ambushed and slaughtered in the mountains. The queen had taken him in and persuaded King Thomas to have him raised as a ward of the throne and trained to knighthood. Ailohan had overheard some in the royal castle of Arancal saying that this was Her Majesty's tender-hearted foolishness and that he was only a servant's child. He hoped he might be the son of one of the dead knights. King Thomas had often told him not to worry about his lineage. The child of a knight is no different from the child of a peasant, he had said. Either can become a true knight or a craven. It is a man's choices that make the man. Ignoring what anyone might say, the queen had loved Ailohan as her own son, and he had called her mother. Queen Sarah had died 4 years ago, and slowly he had learned to live with the emptiness her passing had made in his heart. The question of his lineage troubled him little any more, certainly not now, on the eve of his knighthood. The thunder boomed again, and the cold stone dug into his knees, bringing his thoughts back to the present. A long time had passed since the beginning of his vigil, but it would be longer still until dawn. He looked around the dark chapel. The candles cast circles of light on the rough-hewn floor, polished by the feet and knees of many worshippers. Their light fell short of the ceiling, but barely illuminated the near walls and the altar in front of him. He could dimly see the carving on the altar of Christ and the angels coming on the clouds of heaven. He suddenly found joy in being in this holy place, at this secret hour, alone. The candles flickered in the draught. The darkness seemed to come in under the door as tangibly as the wind, so that Ailohan was aware of both the warmly lit chapel and the cold and rainy night outside, as if he could experience both at once. He began to pray again. Wind roared in the oak trees surrounding the chapel and bowed their branches down to scrape the roof. The black sky rumbled, and the dark rain fell on the worried land, while the young man kept the vigil of his knighthood. Lord God, guard my life, and keep me true to the vows I make tomorrow. May I draw my sword only to fight for the helpless and against evil. Keep me from falling into error, and keep my hands strong and my heart pure. Give me wisdom to fight only when I must, and then give me courage. Help me do my part to lift the darkness that has fallen upon Carolan, and make me loyal to my king and my land until I die. When I face pain and hardship, show me how to bear them as a true knight should. Bring me through. His prayer was suddenly broken by a thing he could not fight or comprehend. He was not attacked. The chapel floor did not gape beneath him. But without warning, without perceptible cause, he fell into darkness and terror, as into a freezing river. Everything he knew was lost to him. He could see nothing but blackness, and feel nothing but overwhelming fear. It crushed his chest and froze his heart. It sent his mind reeling in hopeless confusion. Darkness, loss of light and loss of hope, no reference point, no handhold. He remembered nothing of the past, and could not guess what would happen next. His thoughts spun wildly and fixed on nothing. He felt that he was falling into the abyss, never to return, unless he was already there. Darkness, loss, confusion, and despair. He reached again for something, anything, in his desperation. How? What is this thing? What came before? What was I doing? Why? He dimly remembered that he had been praying, and he grasped at the idea as at a straw. God, he cried, if you were there, save me from the darkness. There was no answer. The darkness roared. Terror surged around him like an overwhelming river. He began to lose his last hope. God, he cried again, if you will not bring me out, come to me and help me in the darkness. Nothing changed. But his terror faded. It faded even though he still could not move or see or feel or comprehend what had seized him. An idea came to him in the darkness, the idea of Carolan, the land that was his home, whose hearty people and hills and streams he loved. Ailohan found he could not frame words, but he tried to offer up his love itself as prayer. He felt that fear was still lying in wait for him, but that prayer shielded him from it. The idea of the people of Carolan narrowed to one man, whom he had not thought of for months. Jonathan, a young villager in a remote glen, who had once thoroughly beaten him in a fencing match. Still unable to frame his own words, he used Thomas's. The child of a knight is no different from the child of a peasant. It is a man's choices that make the man. Horror of the blind darkness all around weighed on him. His prayer faded, and fear began to return. This time he felt a strong sense of falling, of a prison or perhaps even a shelter cracking open. The terror reached a crescendo and then broke. He lay again on the floor of the chapel, gasping and covered with cold sweat. His candles were still burning. The darkness was over.